Well, a few years ago, there was an advertising campaign where Pepsi decided the only way to take on Coca-Cola with their famous red and white branding was actually, rather than to give it all the slogans and the spin about why you might buy Pepsi, but was to get people to do a blind taste challenge. Maybe you saw it. Just to get people, as they queued up outside train stations and things, put a blindfold in, give them two drinks, and just see which one they preferred. And they found that time and again, I don't know where your loyalties lie, but time and again, people preferred Pepsi. And that was their push. People said, you just prefer the taste of it. We don't need to get Premiership footballers to try and sell it. We just need you to taste it, and then you will go and buy it. That was it. They took away all the spin, all the slogans, and just got people drinking Pepsi. Well, they did rather well, didn't they? They're still competing. Should say at this stage, should this sermon go live stream Pepsi? Any extra sales, Christchurch will do with them. But of course, as we think about that, it's in today's passage we learn that not just sharing fizzy drinks, but that Paul is sharing the gospel. And he wants to assure us it's not about spinning anything. No catchy slogans needed. It's about stewarding. It's about having God's message to share, not to sell, just to get that message on people's taste buds, if you like, in their ears. And how that happened in Thessalonica is to be an example to me, to us as a church, about how authentic Christians authentically share God's authentic message. And they do that, that more and more people would hear, taste his good news of Jesus. So we've heard the words from Charmaine. Thanks for reading them, Charmaine. We're to be very clear, Christians are stewards, not spin doctors. Let me just read the opening couple of verses again. He reminds them first how he suffered before he came to their town, reminding them also that he suffered when he was there. And then verse 2. With the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make doesn't spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God, entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. See, God's stewards, trusted to tell God's good news, not spinning it for their gain, but suffering as they did so, that others would gain Jesus as their king too. Now, at the time, the books tell me, at the time, it was very en vogue, very fashionable for traveling lecturers, philosophers, orators, great speakers, to tour around the towns of their region. And they would earn a very good living, sort of passing on their enlightened new thinking and philosophy and ideas. And the Greek culture at the time lapped it up. They were the pop stars and the Premiership footballers of the day. That is who would draw a crowd and would make a mint. But Paul is very clear. He wasn't sharing some great new message from his studies as a Pharisee, but no, timeless good news entrusted to him by God. The news that Jesus was king, not Caesar. The news that Jesus, this king, had died for their sin, rose and will return as judge. And that is good news, offering rescue and life for any and all who turn to him. And remember, as Paul reminds us, as he reminds them, back in Philippi, before he arrived there, he'd been stripped naked, dragged into a public square, and publicly flogged, beaten and shamed, before being thrown into prison. And yet still, he didn't sort of call a team meeting and say, fellas, should we tweak the message a bit to try and avoid the naked flogging? Should we get something a little more palatable for the Thessalonians? No, he knows it's not his message to change, but God's message that can't be changed. And so he shared it again and again, come what may. We know he had to run for his life from Thessalonica. You see, the good news from God of Jesus Christ isn't some religious mantra that now needs spin doctors for people to buy into it. It is God's good news message for suffering stewards to share. It reminded me of Richard Wurmbrand. I've mentioned him before. He was a Romanian Jewish Christian convert, and he was a believer when it was illegal to be one in that part of the world in the mid-20th century under communism. He was put in prison for a total in his life of 14 years. And in his memoirs, he writes these words of one stay in prison. Whoever shared the gospel with our fellow prisoners was beaten, but we chose to pay the price. We preached and they beat us. So we were happy and they were happy. As they tied us to crosses and smeared us in their excrement, we learned what it was to love them, dreaming they might one day ask, how might we too be saved? Indeed, many of my family were murdered at their hands, yet their murderer was one day converted through God's message that we shared. I know it's an extreme example, but it's certainly Paul's example, isn't it? Because God's message is to be stewarded, not spun. So friends, we at Christchurch Crouch End, it's worth us thinking, what does that mean for us? I think it means we should ask ourselves, do we want people to come to Christchurch or to come to Christ? It's a subtle but important difference. If we just want people in the building, well then of course we'll be tempted to spin the message, to offer some incentive and fill the pews. And yet time and again throughout history, and as happens today, churches that do that don't survive. The novelty wears off. The sales pitch runs out of spin. See, Christchurch Crouch End must only, always and ever, steward the gospel. Just pass it on, as Paul did. And that matters because it really isn't like Pepsi versus Coke, which really doesn't matter. As we heard last week, it's not inconsequential. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is the difference between eternal life and eternal death. And it's to be faithfully stewarded. That's our role as a church family in our community. But what about individually? Of course, I think it's fair. Many of us, aren't we, finding in our conversations with neighbours and friends and colleagues, it is coming up that sense of, so where's your hope? How have you kept going? And there's some pressure there, but will we spin it? Or will we steward it? Often the spin might mean we just soften it. But Paul says, just steward it. Just speak of Jesus. And let's face it, no one is going to tie us to a cross and pull their bedpan over us. They might roll their eyes and walk away. And so we need to be clear, don't we? What is the message? If someone tomorrow morning on the playground as you head into school, in the few minutes as everyone's awkwardly connecting to a Zoom audio meeting, or indeed if you're back in the office, heading up socially distanced in the lift, if someone asks you, or as an opportunity, could you share the message simply, faithfully, in a couple of minutes, as you, in your words, but truthfully? Maybe in small groups this week on Wednesday evening, what a great opportunity to have a go. If we have a go at sharing it with one another, it's much, much easier to grow in confidence of sharing it with everybody else. Let's pray that each of us individually and as a family, a church family, would only and ever steward and never spin that Jesus is King. He's the message. But as for the method, well, Paul wants us clear that it's to be shared like parents, not sold like products. Shared like parents, not sold like mere products. Paul's very clear, isn't he, as he reminds them of his visit when he was with them a few months before, of both what he wasn't and what he was when he was there. So verse 5, we just briefly, we know there were no sales tactics. nothing to woo them into believing or to opening their purses to what he was offering. No flattery, no mask, we think COVID, but he means sort of hypocrisy. No flash of his apostolic lanyard saying, hey fellas, the real deal's in town now. Let me use some authority and command an audience. None of that. Instead, he speaks of offering a selfless devotion of a mum and the role modeling reminders of a dad. So look what he says in verse 7, if you've got the words in front of you. Verse 7, he says, we were like young children, or perhaps just gentle, it means, among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. It is a very lovely picture, isn't it, of the deep affection Paul felt for these people. Not customers, but like children. And so just like a good mum or good mums, his team, he and Silas and Timothy who were there, they offered this selfless, giving, sacrificial care. Sharing the truth, Saturday by Saturday in the synagogue, but clearly here, opening their lives, opening their doors, opening their meal tables, giving their all to raise and nurture these people as young Christians to stand firm in their faith. The picture he uses is very clear, isn't it? A mother-like figure, a good mother-like figure, doesn't offer her care for a fee. Can you imagine her salary? Nor restrict her care to the bare minimum. Imagine if she stopped at 35 hours a week. No, she gives and gives and gives selflessly for the good of her child. Reminds me, a friend of mine shares a story that he was once challenged by a friend of his. I think they were just graduated from university. And the friend of his had heard the gospel and they chatted it over at the pub and over pints. But the friend just thought ultimately it was a bit of nonsense and enjoyed the academic debate, but just said, I'm not buying, I'm not interested. It makes no difference apart from your Sunday morning. And my friend said, why don't you move in with me? I'm not saying you'll see a perfect life, but he said, just move in. Let's do life together. Share my flat, my time, my space. Don't simply hear what I say and argue with me in the pub. Come and see the difference I'm saying Jesus makes. See, Paul shared God's message with this mother-like, selfless devotion of an open home and an open heart. And he also offered a father-like role modeling reminders. Of course, the roles are interchangeable, but it's this holistic view of a devoted parent he offers. And so verse 10, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. Now, let's be clear. He's not boasting about how they lived, but reminding them that his life backed up his message. He can confidently say, you know, we weren't spin doctors or salesmen. He also knows they weren't perfect, but that they were consistent with their message of repentance and faith. They, if you like, practiced what they preached. You see, they didn't turn up with this sob story of how they'd had a terrible time in Philippi and then speak of this suffering Savior and then say, if you want to hear more, we've checked into the Dorchester. We can find you over dinner, as long as you're paying. They didn't turn up and preach about the need to turn from idols, as we heard they'd done last week. Turn from those idols of money and sex and power before then saying, well, you'll find our bank details at the bottom of the program card and you'll find us down in Soho having drinks. No, they had a role model type presence, reminding them of what it was to share and live out the gospel. And tragically, there's been several high-profile leadership fails in the wider church in recent years and indeed in recent months. And it is always devastating. But one thing is consistent through them all. It is the need to have this Paul-like transparency that what is said backs up to what is lived. Paul is clear he both spoke and lived out the gospel. He was that role model. And again, like a father that day, he was there to remind them of the gospel. Remind these children, those he adores in his care, about how to live in God's world, God's way, as if you like, he sends them out into the big wide world where dad can't always be around and nor mum. Look how he puts it in verse 12. They're to encourage, to comfort, and to urge. Encourage, keep going in this message. When it's tiring, when suffering comes, even in a global pandemic, keep going. Be encouraged. To be comforted when you really feel you can't keep going. Know the Lord's comfort. The comfort of one another and the support. And yes, also to urge to keep going because it really matters. You can give up Pepsi, he'd say, but don't give up on the Lord. See, the gospel was shared like parents, not simply sold like a product. Presumably, that's why, just briefly, he mentions in verse 9, they were totally self-sufficient. He knows he's dependent, as we see elsewhere in the Bible, on the gifts and generosity of other churches to support their ministry. But as they arrive in this town, they are the ones who paid for the privilege of sharing the gospel. They worked night and day to supplement and sustain themselves with an income. There was to be no accusation of, well, we hear what they say, but isn't it nice how they benefit from free board and lodging whenever they arrive in town, peddling their lifestyle? No, that's not what they did. They were like parents, not salesmen, selflessly, sacrificially, as good role models, teaching what it was to live a life worthy of Christ, as he ends there. Not earning Christ, but thankful for him. And we'll come to more in later chapters about what he says about that worthy living. But friends, as we draw these threads together, we are, to be clear, we are not apostles. They were the eyewitnesses of the risen Lord Jesus. But as we read about the apostles, let's at least be very thankful, if I can put it this way, for the furnace in which the faith we have was forged. Let's be thankful that apostle-like men and women have passed it on faithfully, like parents, like Richard Wurmbrand in prison, for those who pass it on to us. Those who trusted that they had been entrusted, as we all have, with God's message to be shared and not sold, that more and more would know Jesus as King. So it's something to give thanks for, because we sit here today. But I think it's something to challenge us in as well, isn't it? It challenges me as a pastor, I can assure you, as I read these words. It's to be Adam, be like a parent. Don't feel any need to soften or spin. Simply steward. Encourage, comfort, and urge the Christ Church family and indeed our community. Please pray for me and forgive and bear with me when I get it wrong. It's a challenge to anyone in this full-time ministry like Paul, but I think it's got to be a challenge to us all, hasn't it, who follow this same message. And we know that right now, sharing our lives as Paul did, well, with a rule of six at the moment, doing that is tricky. But it's not impossible. And we're right to ask ourselves, when we're able, even in current guidelines or as and when they lift, do we selflessly share our lives? Do we make the time for there to be those insights into the real us, not just the filtered us? I find it so easy to sort of have people round for dinner, but then it all gets a bit sanitized. The conversation's very polite. We sort of come round once the children are in bed and the washing up's all done and they don't really see us doing life. Much easier to say, come round at 5, see how we cope as a family. Let's start the conversation there, in the mess and highs and lows of our day to day. Not saying, look on and be impressed by us, because that's not what Paul said. No, come and see how we go through life's ups and downs, longing to live for the King. As we do that, as we think about how we do that for those outside of the Christian community who haven't yet been called into the kingdom, it's worth us thinking, what about our Christian community? Paul's, we've heard, was so encouraged by their faith and hope and love. And so as I finish, who is it from Christchurch Crouch End that you haven't seen or heard from for a while? Who is it that you could drop a card to, pick up the phone to, offer a coffee with? Who is it that you could encourage, comfort, and yes, urge to keep going as those called into God's kingdom by the love of his selfless King? See, that is news that is worth living for. That is news of which the King is worthy of. It is news that tastes so much better than Coke or Pepsi. And it's news that's been entrusted to all of us to steward and share. Let me pray. Loving Father, we thank you for the truth of the gospel and all those who have passed it on faithfully for generations. We thank you that you have made sure that has happened with suffering stewards, clinging to the truth that Jesus is King, died, risen, and will return. We pray you'd help us as a church family to encourage, comfort, and urge each other to live for him day by day. Pray you protect us from looking to spin the message and help us simply steward it. Protect us from looking to sell the message, but to simply offer it like parents. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.